The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sonny Banks Show, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. We've got a fantastic broadcast. This is Sonny. We're bringing his, by popular demand, bringing his show back. Lots to talk about. Sonny Banks, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Joe. Yeah, we did have a little bit of a hiatus, but a fun one.
Well, what it was it was like the Beatles. I mean, I was sick and tired of going in restaurants and women attacking me and all that. We just had to take a break. I mean, it was a little crazy. Sonny,
well, nice. We did a number of shows where we focused on, students in the Philadelphia area. So it was so fantastic.
Keeping it real, Sonny is a major part of our Sparking a Dream initiative. And we did, we were doing a lot of the Sparking a Dream shows. We're going to be, actually, it's funny you mentioned that, Sonny. We're going to be bringing back not only the Sparking a Dream, but we're going to be I'm going to start creating Sparking a Dream segments in a lot of our labor shows and in a lot of the lawyer shows.
Great.
So that we can get, you know, in a sense, call-ins and have, kind of like filter and infiltrate our regular shows with a lot of our Sparking the Dream students, because I want to get a lot of the construction kids in also that, you know, we had on a lot of our shows. But
yeah, listen, the more we can expose the kids to, the better they're going to be.
Exactly. And so we have Alexis Crandall in the house from Weinemann Pain and Wellness. How you doing, Alexis?
Happy Monday. I'm good. How is everyone else?
Well, we're doing good. So we like to talk, you know, especially with Sonny, it's an incredible time of the year.
Sure,
okay,
is.
And you know, Alexis and I think I was a senior when you were a sophomore, even though there's a couple years between us.
I was actually a junior.
You were a junior. Okay, I had
keep
that
dreaming.
Hold on. I had that very difficult paper route. Okay,
yeah.
I know I look 60, but in my old age, I am a sentimentalist, and so I love the Phillies, but I love the obviously the Eagles, the Sixers, and the Flyers. God bless them. But I spent my whole life, and you and I probably talked about it, you know, wanting a Super Bowl, okay? And when I finally got one, I felt so good about it, right? So when we're not in, okay, when we're out of the playoffs, Dr. Bruce Grossinger in the house.
What's up, Doc?
We're just literally starting, Doc, and we're just about to talk sports. But and Alexis said something very pertinent before we start. I said, hold up, don't say it until we get on air, right? The Eagles. But I want to say something, Doc. I was saying in my old age, I become a little sentimental. I had the luck, and we all have had the luck of watching two world championship Phillies wins, and we were fortunate enough to see the Eagles. Okay, now the three of us in this room right here, and maybe nobody on this floor but us saw got the opportunity to see the Sixers win in 1983. Alexa, you had Alexis had the front row seats to that one. But that was, I do remember that story because you had been drinking too much beer at the time and they escorted you. Yeah. How old were you in 1983? Negative what?
She was negative.
Negative 11.
But
that's good. We need some youth around this show.
Absolutely.
It's good to have that.
Speaking
of regenerative medicine, she's like was a mesenchymal like orthopedic cell.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
was very early on.
Well, what's interesting, one of the important reasons for Alexis to be here is it averages our average age out. Like we're 45 years
down.
Old again,
yeah,
fellas.
We are.
It brings us down. It does.
Exactly. But I do get a little sentimental when I knew the joy I felt when the Eagles won. And now if we're not in it, I kind of pull for, you know, somebody who's never won it before.
Well, after you win, I mean, you want to keep winning.
Keep
being, in the Super Bowl.
If we're not in it, because if we are in it, I want to, obviously tread on the jugular. But
sure.
You're not saying that you're rooting for the Mets?
Well,
or you're leaning for them.
I'm not.
But you're allowed to say that here. We won't cancel you until your next show, that is.
They didn't look too good last night.
We won't cancel you immediately. Yeah, they kind of got hammered yesterday.
Well, it's interesting. So there's a lot to talk about. Doc, I was just telling Sonny about our baseball conversation last week. Well, we're going to start with the Eagles first, okay? And then we'll get into the medicine and all that stuff and the law. But around 5-1.
we'll talk about Brett Weinerman at Associates Pay Management. That's at 30 minutes before end of show.
It's because he's probably listening. He's not, but Mitch is. Shout out to Mitch. Uh-huh. But let's talk a little. He goes, Bruce, you're gonna. So Alexa starts off about 5 minutes ago. And she says exactly what every one of us was saying yesterday. Exactly. She's like, I appreciate the win. Okay. Yeah. But my God, go ahead, pick it up from there.
I was there at the game yesterday and I said, a win is a win, but it looked like we were playing the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
And we're playing one of the worst teams in NFL football right now. Right. So it's like, a win is a win, but we do not look good.
Well,
and I don't know what, something needs to happen.
You're right. We made Pierre Strong look like Mercury Morris.
Yeah, I mean, it just was, they always make it a challenge, no matter who we are playing. And if we want to win the Super Bowl, we can't play like that.
Well, how about that first quarter? All those great points that we got.
We haven't
scored a point in any game in the first quarter.
No.
That's incredible.
How do you even win?
Well, Sirianni.
Not at all.
I will say, at least he went for the points with field goals. At least
he didn't go for it like the fourth down and fours. At least he
at
did
least
that.
We got
he nudged.
The points. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he overcompensated by flipping off the fans.
At the end.
Bringing your kids as human shields into the press conference is very unprofessional.
Very unprofessional.
And I think that, I don't know if they would fire him in season, but I remember they fired Chip Kelly the last game of the season, so technically in season. But I think there's enough of a mutiny going on right now that I'm going to be at that game next week in MetLife. Normally, we look at that as a deadpan win. Mm-hmm. And again, the Giants were absolutely horrible. Danny Dimes was terrible. Their defense played great against Cincinnati, but Danny Dimes is just horrible.
Yeah.
So I think the Giants are very much like the Browns as a beatable team. But playing them away in the division, I don't think it's a lead pipe cinch.
Oh, no, it's not.
No.
By the way, Alexis, did you see the video of Sirianni at the end of the game going up back at the benches to go yap at the fans?
Yes.
Okay. He's, in my opinion, a two-game losing streak. If they did fire during the season away from and had he lost, I had some people on my Facebook saying yesterday, I'm pulling for a big L today because that'll be the end of him. His personality is so odd. Okay, and clearly, so he's on the hot seat if anybody ever was, and you're so right. The Cleveland Browns, they're an organization. First of all, you look at their quarterback, okay, and we all know his backstory, right? You know his backstory, right? You know, he was.
They were massaging his back.
Massaging.
That's his back.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, you set me up for that. You threw me a hanging curve and I had to drive it for distance.
Yeah. 25 women.
Yeah, now, he was like seducing them, right?
Well, he was touching and whatever.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly.
I heard he was with Robert Kraft, though. That was his human shield.
Right. Well,
sorry. Oh, that's a low blow against the Patriots, but there is a bit of humor in this show.
But every now and then, right? but Bruce, first of all, I'm not going to get back into. But there was a Cleveland Brown fan who lived across the street. Sean, his name was a great guy, and we would. He would bring the TV out and all that. We would pull for, the Browns for him. But he also said to me that when they picked this guy up, karma itself, I mean, what I don't understand, I mean, these massive contracts, they have to be fake. Because if I just paid a guy a guaranteed $300, $250 million bucks.
And that's what you did. And that's what you did to him. And it's guaranteed. Unfortunately, he was the one who started the idea of these guaranteed contracts. I always loved football because you could cut a guy. Now, I wish I honestly, not to get into baseball prematurely, but I wish we could cut Trey Turner. You know, when you have guys, or even Castellanos, who's just a flash in the pan, that just that guy annoys the hell out of me.
Compared
to these guaranteed contracts are the death of sports. $1 billion to watch that dreck hitting 150 below the Mendoza line? Let's not talk baseball.
Unfortunately, the guaranteed contracts are not going away.
Yeah. No, they're not. No, no, yeah. The floodgates are open.
Yep.
But certainly on sports radio, we're allowed to bitch about it. Alexis, are we allowed to do that? Yeah. Thank you for permission.
I'll give you permission.
Thank you so much.
But here's the thing. Okay, so the Cleveland, you know, obviously, but also I wonder, and I'm wondering to this day, okay, what happened to Hurts? He stays in a pocket too long. He doesn't look like he has the urgency he did 2 years ago.
Right.
I mean, I love him. I loved him because he was, you know, like he had the urgency. He was in the pocket. He was like, you know, but now.
Yeah, because he didn't have $50 million yet.
So, Sonny, let's get
to you. 2 years ago, he wanted to make plays.
He wanted it. Yeah, now he has what he got.
What do you see? When you see Hurts this year, what do you see, Sonny?
I see a very tentative quarterback.
Very tentative.
And I see a quarterback who's overthinking things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not why we pay Jalen Hurts what we pay him. You know, because of his athleticism and because of, you know, his natural instinct for the game.
Yeah. So that is obviously a big deal. You know, and so you look at a lot of the things going on, and to Alexis's point and to all of ours, it's a nerve wracking situation. Now, let's just hope it was the bye, right? We'll go with that. But next week, I'm telling you, that this season set up, but the way we're playing, okay, is just. You know, it's set up for Sirianni not to make it through.
I think next week is set up. The Giants played, their defense played great, and they could put pressure. They had 22 sacks, and I think they had 5 sacks last night on Joe Burrow. They have 20. They lead the whole league, 32 teams. They lead him in sacks.
Wow.
And they get a lot of pressure. And if you look at that guy Burns, number zero, unlike our guy, Bryce Huff, their guy Burns is all over the place. He's a defensive end. He's tackling. He's rushing. And other Danny Dimes was just so bad. And they make so many bad hold. I thought the Eagles were they had a lot of penalties yesterday. The Eagles look like they're preseason. But if you watch the Giants. And certain family members, like my wife, are actually from New York. So
we have a lot of people come on.
So we have a lot of. So she's a Giants fan, and her family. It was really fun when they came for that Giants playoff game, and they were down 28-0, and they left early. I hated that, though. No, I'm just kidding. I actually love that. But you look at them; their defense is real, and this Eagles defense is not that good. And the Giants, not that they have a medium fan base, but that'll be a sold-out stadium next week. And then if they lose that game, and look at how angry Cincinnati, they were 1-3. They just won. They're climbing back into it.
Cincinnati
at home, we're playing them away. Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's defense woke up. So I think you could be looking at 2 losses. People be heading, as you would say, to be heading for the bridges.
So I'm curious what you guys think. What's the greater concern? Is it the defense or the offense?
For the Eagles?
Yeah.
My concern is by far the defense.
Really?
Okay, in my opinion.
Not me.
Why
not
is
me
that? Either. Well, here's the point. I believe that. Okay, I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. We've got. Look at yesterday's game. You got AJ and Devontae. That they literally are such big play. God, they should have lost the game. But AJ made that touchdown catch was amazing. End of the game. And look at Devontae. His ability to get open. The fact he did the slant. So in other words, and they didn't even use Saquon yesterday. And the line is healthy now. Lane Johnson's back. When Lane Johnson plays, they win. Lane was out, and they lose. So
how about what's his name on the other side? The 6'8" guy.
Mailata.
He got hurt. They bring a 6'7" guy in behind him.
I'll give you the set shoulder injury report, which I did yesterday. So he has a hamstring, but the fact that they had to cart him out, that could be like a grade 2 hamstring. That's 2 to 4 weeks. That's bad. The other guy, Slay, has had a bad knee. His left knee, it's been on and off. He took himself out of the game in the third quarter. There wasn't an injury per se, but you got to worry about, he's your best guy. You worry about his knee, and Dallas Goedert might have a grade one hamstring. Grade one? So that means he'll probably be back. But they're three important people. Isaiah Rogers, now you're very thin at DB. Isaiah Rogers, I thought he had a concussion, but he had the wind knocked out of him. He went into the tent and he came back. So there's your injury report right there.
Well, how about our boy, Nakobe Dean? I loved him at Georgia, but he can't tackle.
He can't tackle at all. Do you see Deshaun Watson?
He's over
pursuing. Faked him out. Twice.
Right.
I mean, totally faked him out, and he whiffed.
I mean, he's over-pursuing is what he's doing.
He's over-pursuing. And if you listen to Seth, he's not going with his body. He's basically like a missile. He's diving at people.
Yeah.
That's not how you tackle people. And in college, it works.
Seth would know.
Yes. And Nakobe, and Seth really believes that Nakobe is not an NFL linebacker. And I love Nakobe. I've interviewed him. He's got a great story. I'm not big enough to be a linebacker. He's my size. He's not.
But getting back to
the
original
wrong
question,
size is 6 foot.
I mean, the defense held the Browns to 16 points. I mean, for all practical intents and purposes, the defense did their job.
No, they had a good game. No, you're asking me long term. So the defense did their job, and they had that one great game. But my ultimate concern is, again, the linebackers covering out of the backfield. Nakobe, Bond is a really good rusher. Bond has been amazing. He's been a great acquisition.
What do you think of Trotter Jr.?
He hasn't played at all. I have no opinion about him. And they're not playing him at all. I thought Cooper DeJean I thought he looked great. We need hitters. So if you saw the game yesterday, look at the Giants. They're able to hit, and they force fumbles. We don't force any turnovers. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Where did you sit yesterday? Did you go to the game? You went into the game?
Yeah. Where did I sit?
Yeah.
Oh, we were in section 221.
What was the sentiment up there? You know, like, in other words, was it the same? Like, people disgusted? Like,
yeah,
the game was brutal.
I think I heard every other comment was about Nick. And how he sucks and how he's got to go.
Right.
Tell us what you really think.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but back to your original question.
I
think I'm not concerned with our defense. I think, yes, we are a little inconsistent, but I think that what is very consistent is Jalen not performing. And yeah. I'm very, like, the constant turnovers.
Yeah.
He's just his constant errors.
No scoring in the first quarter this year.
No scoring. Right.
No,
he's
I'm not saying,
performing.
By the way, I'm not saying that I'm happy with the offense.
Right, right.
But I believe.
And he's
not
utilizing.
Let me tell you something, a little inside thing. I have a friend who's an NFL cameraman. He went to Boise State with Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore, by the way, nobody's thrown for more yards than Kellen Moore at Boise State. He's a genius. But when my friend, I won't mention his name on air, I'm sure he wouldn't like that, he said that Kellen is a genius. He thinks, you remember A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe? Mm-hmm. He can think in layers, like in three dimensions, and his whole way of doing things is so complicated that that's what they're doing now. In other words, it was so complicated that Hurts, in his worst time, he's back there and he can't compute. He just, it's too much.
Huh.
So what he did is he made it more simple. And right now, you can see what's going on. You can see that Hurts basically locks into one or two. Yesterday, who did he have? He had A.J. Brown, and he had the tight end, blocking on his name now. Calcivera or something?
Yeah, Calcivera.
Something that sounds like some kind of good Italian food. Calcivera with the marinara. It's all in there. It's in that tomato sauce. But you notice how he locked into AJ and the tight end. And he totally ignored Devontae until he can only lock on two guys. As far as Jahan Dotson, he had one good play.
But
the problem is, if you watch good college quarterbacks, you know, like yours or any college quarterbacks, they literally go through five progressions. You can see them going through different progressions. Look at Caleb, the quarterback for the Bears. I mean, he looked great yesterday. Why? Because he learned how to go through progressions.
So you're saying the offensive scheme is too simple?
Well, I think it's simple. It's okay now. In other words, but they've got to be able to introduce certain wrinkles. What happened to that Devani play? That was where they were using the mesh, the old Mike Leach mesh, and they set up the Browns for that. So that was very good scheming, where they set up the Browns to the point they were all on one side of the field. And the same thing happened yesterday. If you saw the Bengals-Giants game, Burrow did the same thing. He set him up so that everybody was running to the left, and he's not fleet of foot, and he ran for a 45-yard touchdown. That was a difference in the
history.
But yeah, right. But so the idea is, I believe that they're gradually introducing complexity. I think Jalen really is good with one side of the field as far as his, and I think it's something that could be learned, but this is, he's had so many different offensive coordinators. So to his credit, I just think he's got to have confidence. How do you get confidence? It's with success. Now the offensive line is healthy. So I believe, and I saw Kenny Gainwell had it. He was sure. Like lightning.
Right.
You know, he looked great. So in other words, I'm seeing sparks there. Obviously, I'm not saying it was a good offensive performance, mm-hmm. but I think the thing you have to worry about, the Giants have a great pass rush. So I think they're going to have to run. They're going to have to do quick passes, or Hurts is going to be sacked and he's going to be turning the ball over. That's what I think next week.
Well, you know, I will say that it was good to see some underneath passing. You know, you certainly... You need those high percentage passes in the middle of the field, which was what Devontae Smith caught. Right. Okay, when he was underneath, I think that is incredibly important. So, also, I'll tell you, you want to talk about quarterbacks that are really, you know, getting it. The kid from Washington, holy crap.
He's incredible, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's very likable. I mean, I don't usually like. I still call him the Redskins. The guy is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got it all. You know, thinking, well, really LSU, you know, LSU's a big offense, but he really looks like the real deal. And I think Washington is very scary. We didn't even touch upon the debacle last night on Jerry's 82nd birthday. Feel free.
You know, he's talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
yeah,
getting
right.
rolled.
49 to 9 or 49-7.
Yeah.
That made me feel so joyful.
Yeah. Well, you know, probably a big cake happening in that Jerry probably said, get rid of the cake, right? You know, it's look,
the division's weird. I mean, I think Washington, they'd be a favorite to win the division.
No question.
Because they've always had a good defense. And when you have a great quarterback, you can turn things around. Look at Burrow, how he turned around the Bengals. Yeah. Yeah. You get a good quarterback, even Herbert. Like, if you saw the game yesterday, I'm a big Bo Nix fan. He was horrible. He had 22 yards in the first half.
Did you see that argument he got in with Sean
Payton? Yeah, I love Bo, but obviously he's having growing pains.
When you're 42 years old and you're a rookie,
I know, you might that's Bo.
He went to high school with Sean Payton, so
I have to say, we, you know, Spencer, we play favors. We love Bo, but 22 yards of offense in the first half is not cutting it.
Yeah, well, you're going to get humbled. That's going to happen in the NFL.
Yep. Not to go around the league, but I think we're doing a little bit of that.
We are, and I'm going to get to one thing. But Alexis last night, I don't know if you guys, it gets rowdy down there, okay?
Oh, yeah.
It was. Now, let me just say this, and I know she doesn't want me saying it, but, the crowd was, it was, kind of laid back. And, of course, she started a fight down there up in section 221.
There was only one Browns fan. I saw her throwing leather with the one forlorn Browns fan. There was only one.
Right.
I saw none, really. I didn't see any Browns fans.
There was actually a good amount. I will say our section was a little rowdy. There were some things that were happening, and I was like, what is going on?
It reminded me of like a P. Diddy white party. No, sorry, that's a terrible joke.
Oh, Jesus, Bruce.
All right, let's keep things current. I saw the suitcase. Never mind. Let's not go there.
So I could, I'll tell you what would be a crazy, if you could do an R version, okay, we're not going to do it now, of things people have seen at Eagles games. I saw one time, I'll never forget it. I saw this on two separate occasions. One, when they were playing the Rams, was it the, oh yeah, they were playing the Rams the year that, when I'm going way back, way, way back when the Rams won the Super Bowl with Dick Vermeil. So it's the last game of the year they're playing it at the Rams coming to Philly, coincidentally on the last game of the year. This guy, now I was in the 700 level. I dropped my son off and his cousin. They were going to the game. I bought a ticket and then I'm up in the 700 level. We're not going to the playoffs. And my son, I could actually see him. He was a couple sections over. It was so nuts, the whole thing. So I'll never forget. I'll never forget this. So this guy and his family, okay, must have came in from St. Louis. He's in the 600 level. Okay,
that's pretty close to the 700 level. Not that good.
Only a walkway. And remember, the 600 level was like seven seats. It was like 10
very
rows,
small. Right? I'm surprised they didn't throw him over.
Well,
that could happen. That's a little scary.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. He comes in with his family right before the game starts. Right, they get there and he takes his. It's the end of the year, so it's kind of cold out. And he takes his jacket off. He's got a big Rams shirt on. Everything's great. He's fun. I mean, he must think he's back in St. Louis. He turns around. He looks up. Now, they're the whole 700 level. And he puts his hands up like, you know, the Rocky thing. And I got my Rams thing on. They had to escort him and his family out. Wow. by halftime. And, I mean, that's just the beginning of there was these guys sitting on the rail. Oh, they were in the first row to 700 level. You got the walkway, and then there was a father and son in Rams attire, right, on the last row of the 600 level. They're just sitting there watching the game. These two Beavis Butthead dudes, right, that's exactly what they were, had big pretzels, and they were peppering them, right? Now, the guy's 10 feet from them,
right?
He jumps up. Guy comes up, and he says, "Fellas, I mean, is this the Twilight Zone or something?" You see the guys, the Beavis and Butthead dudes, nodding their heads, right? Like, you know, we got it. We're sorry. He jumps over. The guy jumps back over to get in his seat, with his son. And 2 seconds later, he starts throwing it again. Now, these guys, they're upholding, as Philly fans, they're doing everything they can to uphold our reputation. Right. Before that guy could turn around, a missile flew over my head from the 700 level, right? It smacked some other guy in the 600 level in the face. He turns around and looks up. Now, there's nothing but a sea of people, because I think we lost that game. And he looks up, and he's got his hand like this. He can't see who it is, but the two Beavis and Butthead dudes start laughing. And before the guy was getting peppered with his son with the soft pretzel could turn around and come back up, that guy looked up and he couldn't see who did it, but he saw these two guys laughing. And he goes, "Oh, you think it's funny?"
Yeah.
All hell broke. I'm like, and I'm looking, I'm my son and his nephew, and they're like 10 at the time. I don't even know what time. And I'm going, this is not for, back in the day, but I'm just saying, how about when I went to the Seattle game? It was Reggie White night. We're losing 35-0 at halftime.
I was at that game. That was horrible.
I'll tell you, two things happened at that game.
Offense was one of them.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you exactly. Well, I'll never forget it. They're calling for who's the kids? Ty Detmer's brother, Coy.
Really?
We're getting rolled, right? And they start going, the fans are going, Coy, he's the backup. Coy Detmer, he gets in first place, throws a 40-yard interception for a touchdown backwards. Like, they booed him out. So all the fans stayed only for Reggie White's family, right? A young lady in a pink Eagles jersey at the beginning of the game turns around and goes like this. Well, immediately after, it's 35-0. All hell is breaking loose. I mean, when things and they start, and they had another guy in, except he was in the Seattle Seahawks. They had to put a referee jersey over top. So when you're losing, I can only imagine what it was like up in those stands. One thing,
I'll tell you something interesting. Just along with that, I was at Game 3, the one good game, the Phillies Mets game, and we were there. And it was a great game, as you know, 7-6. You and I spoke about it. There was a guy, and I think I might mention it. Really nice. There was a guy with a Mets outfit on who wasn't an unruly guy. When he was walking out of the stadium, He said he didn't get punched, but he kind of got hit. like just walking out, like four different people hit him. So Spencer and I saw the guy. We're obviously Phillies fans, and we kind of flanked him, and we flanked him. We kind of protected him as we went. We walked him to live back. But that isn't right. I mean, they won the game, people. So I just said that isn't right. And so I just said we got you, man. And now he was the nicest guy.
Hold on.
But
now,
I just feel, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to the Giants game. I won't be wearing Eagles gear, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case Revenge you want it. Right. I'll be wearing a white shirt.
And now
very neutral.
Yeah, but I don't think that kind of activity happens at other stadiums.
But you know what it does, though?
It really does.
But guess what? I got to tell you this. The Panthers were beating the Giants like 23-0 in a playoff game about 8 years ago. I was with Panthers fans. And they were literally riding. The Giants fans were riding. They tried to beat the bleep out of my friends who are Carolina fans. And again, we had to jump in, like Spencey and I had to jump in. So it does happen. You know what? There's pockets of jerks at every stadium. There's people who overdrink, especially in football games. I don't think it's, and I believe now, unfortunately, the tickets are such that they are. That does keep some of the riffraff out of the link, you know, some of the $5 seats from the 700. Not saying there's a correlation between.
I think ours are the worst, though.
Yeah, I agree. I've been to the Ravens, I've been to the Yankees.
But I'm saying we are, though. I'm saying I think we are. I think we are the worst. I'm not denying that, but there are pockets of bad fans
just
everywhere.
Like anywhere, but I think that our fans are.
Well, let me just say this, and we're all from Philly, so if you got a problem with it, I'll meet you outside. Now, listen, let me just say this. Having said that, what's funny about what Bruce said is about these fans that were going after those guys, the Mets fans. You come in here, you realize it was Sonny Banks. He was just out of control. I do want to, you know, we're going to get into, but I do want to bring up one thing, deadly serious. Ruined my whole day yesterday. I was watching the Dallas game and Detroit with the defensive end and the bad injury he had.
That was a terrible injury. He had a tib fib fracture. So obviously, you know, he had a terrible injury where he fractured not only his fibula, which is the small bone, but so when you fracture tib fib, his foot was deformed. He's going to need, and I had a patient like this last week, he's going to get a plate. He's going to get a plate on his fibula. He's going to get screws, internal fixation, and he'll be out for the year. Now, the good news is it's not a career-ending injury.
Oh, thank God.
No, it's not a career-ending injury. We've seen that before. We saw an injury like that. Paul George actually had a similar, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. He had a complete rupture of the patella. Different injury, but you saw a deformed. That's a deformed foot.
I was worried.
The ankle is twisted.
Sonny,
back.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it. No.
Did you see it, Alexis?
Alex Smith also. If you remember Alex Smith, he had 100 surgeries.
Oh,
he had the same kind of injury. But this is a bad tib fib fracture. Yeah, this will be plated and screwed, casted, and this is an injury you could come back from.
Thank
He's
God.
A young guy.
What was the foot visibly turned? Or?
They wouldn't
totally
show it to you again.
Visibly turned, completely turned around.
And he made it a sack.
It was gruesome. Wow. It was gruesome.
And they would, when you come back, so what happens, you're watching the game. What's the kid's name again? He's the number one. He was the number two pick in the draft, the defensive
end.
He's
from Michigan. I'm blacking on his name as well, but I'll think about it.
He's on the Cowboys? Or he's
he's
on Detroit.
Detroit.
He's a wonderful guy,
too. He's
great
the future of the NFL, yep. This guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and well, what the heck's his name?
I'll have it in a second.
Number 97. But he's a star. I mean, and he tacked, he sacked Dak Prescott. And when he was down.
His name is Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. And guess what? I mean, they wouldn't show it to you. They was down.
And they showed it because
Michael
kids
Parsons.
It was a gruesome injury. I think people would be, you know, it's just a bad injury.
I can't.
But the good news is it is a tib fib.
Thank God.
They could relocate it. They could get the bones in total alignment. He's going to have a plate. And the plate can stay there. It's a very thin plate. It screws. It's titanium. Just like I have two hips, they're made of titanium. They're fine. So the good news is it's a gruesome injury, but he'll be back. It's a year. He'll be back in a year. He's a great guy. And the Lions, you know, he's the heart of the Lions defense. It's a shame they'll miss him, but he won't be back next year. I assure you of that.
Okay. So real quick, first of all, baseball is unexplainable, okay? Just an unexplainable sport. Yes, the Mets who smoked us and they were all, now all of a sudden They get blank 9-0. They brought that pitcher in at the beginning of that game. They got away with it when Schwarber hit the home run.
Right.
But not with the Dodgers.
No.
And so, yeah. Any predictions?
Too much firepower.
Just could you imagine that? Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Ohtani.
Yeah, that would not have been my selection for the first game.
They tried to get away with it.
They did.
And they're going to pay for it potentially incredibly hard.
Well, here's the point. The way you beat the Phillies is bring in junk ballers who are very crafty, mm-hmm. who throw very slow. The Phillies swing at everything. Yeah. And you can't do that against a disciplined team who also knows how to move runners and play small ball. So they're going to have to get some higher velo than that. And we'll see. You know, as I said, I don't really like the Dodgers. I don't like either team, but I know more people, like family members, who are Mets fans. So now that I've gotten over the sting of it, I probably will, you know, silently.
Imagine yesterday, though, you wake up, you're a New York Mets and Giants fan. It wasn't a good day. Let's do this. Let's go around the horn real quick.
And a Jets fan, too. Let's not even go there.
Yeah. Mother of God. Yeah. It's getting to the point where I'm going to pull for the Knicks against the Sixers. Alexis, if you would, a little bit about yourself and Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Yeah, so I'm the director of marketing for Weinerman Pain and Wellness. We do physical therapy, chiropractic care, a little bit of pain management, and then we are, some exciting news, we just added on a psychologist. She starts actually in next week. She'll be there once or twice a month. She'll do some in-person, some telemed. We're super excited because a lot of these cases that are happening in the workers' comp world and personal injury world, they're at a very low state in their life, and psychology, people need to talk it out and make sure that they're, like I say all the time, not all pain is seen. So I would imagine,
Joe, in excess of 90% of my patients, my clients with chronic pain have a psychiatric component.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about chronic pain on our last show that I was on. And people, like I said, all pain is not seen. And chronic pain is, it's not just like, I suffer from chronic migraine syndrome, and it's not just a headache. It comes with all different like symptoms and things that happen to your body that you can't control. Right. And I can't.
By the way, I can help you.
Okay, awesome.
I'll help you. If you say I suffered, that will imply that if you say suffered, then I'd say, oh, you got a great neurologist. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
No,
I'm not saying that you don't. But migraines, as far as there's an explosion of new medicines that have almost no side effects to both prevent and abort migraines that are truly.
We'll talk after that.
Yeah, we'll talk after that.
Doc,
just to talk about pain, we also see people, as Sonny Banks knows so well. You know, I had a 21-year-old kid who basically, like, a ladder fell at his head from 10 feet. And this guy can't remember anything. He's having terrible headaches. He's depressed. He's a 21-year-old, handsome, the male version of Alexis, like a handsome guy. His mother, and so when he goes in to see certain defense actors, he looks great. Yeah. He looks like he's doing a Brooks Brothers commercial. But the guy's life is just terrible. So when you have a brain injury, it's not, you can't see it. Just like if you're depressed. So the way that Weinerman Pain and Wellness, that you have a whole team approach, mm-hmm. that you support them psychologically, that's such a big deal.
Yeah.
For me as a neurologist, it's so easy to send cases to you.
Yeah, we're super excited about the psychologist.
Not to interrupt, I'd like have them come to my office, and we have a ton of people. Our psychologist, Dr. Silberman, who is wonderful, who's in his 80s, he actually did something great. He retired. He went to Israel to support a lot of the families of the victims. And so I have a need for that.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's so great that for our listening audience, that you at Weinerman Pain and Wellness have psychological support. Yeah. That's a big hole in many practices.
It is. And the coding of her treatment is going to be extremely important. Because,
exactly.
You know, she's treating patients with chronic pain.
Exactly.
Who have a psychological component to it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she's also, what I really like about her is she does a ton of work with lawyers, but she also is helping the field of younger children who have been severely abused or have gone through things. So she knows like all of the different, she's experienced in so many different realms.
Could you tell us her name? What's her name?
Her name is Dr. Joan Feinstein. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of her.
No, well, I think it's great that we promote her.
I currently work with her. She does.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, she does an excellent job.
She's amazing. Mm-hmm. I really, really, we've connected on many levels. We've gone out to dinner. She's been in our office multiple times. It's been a long process. I've actually, since I've been with the practice 8 months now, I've been working with her to get her on board right. for 7 months. So I know her pretty personally. She's incredible. She does a lot of great work.
We have so much. We have such a need for her services. Yeah. I can't even begin to tell you.
Okay.
And again, a lot of times
she's good with the litigation. I mean, she really supports her patients.
Yeah. And it's also great because a lot of the kids of the injured workers, it becomes a whole family thing. Creates financial stress, marital stress, and who feels it? The kids, the youngest ones who don't understand. The fact that she can support families,
yes,
I think it's wonderful.
I think it's really good, too, for a lawyer as well, because I can't imagine how hard it is to be in a trial and have to defend someone, like you said, like I said, pain's not all seen, and you have to explain to the judge and say, oh, well, they have a concussion or they have a depression because of this, because their family's not getting the means that they need because of the injury. So for her to come on and be able to depose and say, this is actually a real thing, it really helps with the case. And from what I've learned from Joan.
Especially with an injury that doesn't involve surgery, you know, where people can assume that that injury was serious enough, you know, to cause the client to be put under the knife.
You would imagine, especially in a lot of these cases, you know, where if they have a lawyer and they're that, you know, very well must mean that, obviously, especially if it's work comp, they're not working, and if it's there's a personal injury element and they're not working, they're clearly catastrophically injured in one way or another. But like Alexa said, hey, listen, my wife has psoriatic arthritis, and one of her biggest complaints, and she goes for this treatment at a rheumatologist. Literally, I can see his office from here. And so it's every 6 to 8 weeks, and it's like almost like a chemo treatment, right? Hmm. And but people, her biggest complaint that's not physical is people can't see it. And so when you can't see, and so people seem to, you know, like her own friends, as much as we love them, you know, they'll blow them off. I mean, you know, in the conversation, like, oh, yeah, but how about this? You know, like you're talking about the day yesterday. I know, let's real quick around the horn, Doc, a little summary about what you do in the practice.
So I do pain management, non-opioid pain management. I also do a lot with regenerative medicine. So a lot of people out there, whether they're injured or not, have either arthritis or they have sports injuries, often knees, shoulders, hips, spine. You don't, when you go to some of these big Walmart-like practices, you get, basically everybody gets funneled into early surgery or early replacement of hips, knees, and shoulders. In our practice, we try everything but, and also, I just want to mention about Banks Law. Working with Morty and Sonny at that practice, I can tell you the most sophisticated law firm I deal with is Banks Law. Because we have cases that are very nuanced. We have people literally could have strokes on the job. We have people that have all kinds of traumatic injuries, including severe trauma. And I find that they are so knowledgeable that Sonny and Morty, the people I deal with there, they know the law, they know the medicine so well. So if you're out in the listening audience, you're going to have a lawyer who knows exactly what you're going through, how to support, like we often have a team of orthopedic surgeons, neurosurgeons, vascular surgeons, family doctors, internists. And I can just tell you, it's such a pleasure to deal with Sonny Banks. It's my joy.
Sonny, if you would remind our listeners.
Sure, Joe. So I have a boutique law firm in Center City, Philadelphia. We've been in practice since June of 2013. I've been doing this work for close to 40 years, and we focus on disability law. Primarily Pennsylvania workers' compensation. We do some Social Security disability, short-term and long-term disability, as well as veterans' benefits. Dr. Grossinger is absolutely right. I mean, you really have to know the medicine, because one of the first things that we do when we see a new client is get them to the right doctor, not only to treat the condition that they have, but to also support their case.
It's amazing, because when you bring up the medical, and you bring up the psychological side, okay, and you really, in a sense, probably described the situations of countless people. I wonder, like what Alexa said about, you know, it's not something you could see. And Doc, you handle the concussions and all those things. But in your world, Sonny, okay, listening to what the doc said, and you know, Doc has talked about the concussions and a lot of the, you know, the neurological situations, and Alexa's talking about them, you know, from a different standpoint, psychological, but not a lot of sympathy there on, you know, from the defense side on those particular situations. We're on the front lines right here with practices that understand that obviously, you know, they could be, you know, 50% of that, you know, chronic pain, which is so debilitating. And now you have that psychological component, which probably so many people have. How does that received in your world?
They refuse to pay for it, unfortunately. Unless, you know, the psychiatric treatment is connected with chronic pain treatment. And that's why I think, you know, what Dr. Weinerman's office is doing is right on point.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Doc. You know, you had said your guy retired. For a long time, you were the only practice that had somebody that was even associated.
Yeah, he's tremendous, and Silverman was great. He's not there. It's so bad. You know what's so bad? Yeah. A lot of people, just two myths. One myth is that when you get injured at work, you're, and a lot of these are very loyal union people, they feel like they don't get a lawyer because they don't want to sue their job. They don't want to sue their boss. They don't realize that it's an entitlement. And I've seen stuff that's just maddening. I have a guy I've known for like 10 years. He's a CDL truck driver. He fell out of a truck, fractured his heel, comminuted in a million. He went to a very nice surgeon in Delaware who basically put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Now he's got terrible RSD, and his claim was denied. So this guy, he was at work, fell out of his truck, fractured his foot, had surgery, now is in therapy, and the guys and his wife were reticent, and this is a Delaware case, they're reticent to get a lawyer or say they can handle it because they're talking to the rehab nurse who they trust because they, you know, and basically all they're doing is recording their conversations. If he said, how you feel, you know, how you feeling, and he says, fine. So that's the whole point.
They're holding
that
it against
people
them.
Who work, and again, the guy I mentioned who looked like Brooks Brothers, him and his mom are just, they're so distraught because this guy's got a brain injury and they're denying his claim and all this stuff. And he's got a lawyer and basically they feel persecuted. They feel like it's personal. I said to them, listen, if there's a claims rep who's working for one of these insurance companies and they show empathy, they believe you. If they take that posture for a moment, they're not going to be working for that company anymore. It's a whole mindset.
Yeah, and RSD or complex regional pain syndrome is another one of those injuries that you really can't see, but it's severely debilitating.
Yes.
Severely debilitating.
You know, it's certainly, you know, when you think about it, it's shocking. And when you have you have individuals, now you got somebody who fell and who had a ladder on top. So he's got a brain injury.
Terrible brain injury.
And depression.
Right.
I mean, terribly depressed, and his brain just doesn't work, really. And he's got terrible headaches.
Can that ever go away?
Well, we're working with him. I'm working with Bryn Mawr Rehab. I'm working with Thomas Jefferson Headache Center. So I'm acting as a quarterback. Now, 90% of people, like Alexis, I can fix her headaches. This guy has failed virtually everything. Now we're moving into botulinum toxin, and we're getting into some different things like ketamine infusions, like because this guy's headaches are so debilitating. He's very depressed and it's bad. So the fact of the matter is there are times when I've got to put him in a multi-place where you know, when I'm at Bryn Mawr Rehab, when I set him there, they're going to basically get all layers of cognitive therapy, all that stuff. Now, that's probably one out of 20. But this is, you know, and now I know about Dr. Feinstein, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I know about her. So that, in my mind, I've got to be able to have a matrix in my head, Joe, where I know I have to send them for what they need. And now I just, we just went one step further to have a great consultant.
You know, it's interesting because the only time I ever met a psychologist, it was a long time ago, and they wanted to get into, you know, the personal injury workers' comp world. I'll never forget it. So they sent me all their information. And Yeah, because we had an injured workers program. Okay, I don't, obviously, it was nice to hear it, but it was nothing I could do about it. But they started calling me and saying, well, and I was, they did a lot of work in New York. But this individual started going, well, we have to charge for our services up front because we can't. And I'm like, well, I don't know much about
that's
this.
That's not going to work.
That's not going to fly.
It goes back to what I said before. I mean, it's about the coating. It's got to be coated as part of the chronic pain treatment, not you know, your garden variety psychiatric care.
You can't just send
someone
to a site. They're not going to get paid. So that's why we, Joan and I and Dr. Weinemann, we really sat down to come up with her coming into our office, because at the end of the day, we just want the patient and your client to be better.
Sure.
And they really need this service. It's not like they don't need it. So, and it, like what you said, Sonny, it's super hard for it to get approved by the judge or to get them to get paid. So we sat down and we took a lot of time, and we're super excited to be have her in our office.
Yeah,
we really
are. It's a great service.
Yeah, we're really excited. And she's, like I said, she's great.
And I'm glad that it's happening because there's such a need.
Yeah.
Having said that, going around the horn, Sonny, a big part of what you do is contingent fee. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a contingent fee allows, you know, anyone out there to hire any attorney that they want to in order to you know, move forward with the claim. That's the beauty of a contingency fee. That simply means that the attorney doesn't get paid unless he recovers for the client.
And Doc and Alexis, you know, part of being in the network that you're in is understanding, obviously, there could be claim petitions or it could be a personal injury situation where you don't get paid for a long time or you need to work with a great attorney like Banks Law to get a letter of protection so that, you know, you'll hang on and treat that individual, you know, while, you know, they're going through what they're going through. Talk about that process.
Yeah, I've mentioned this before, but I think it's very important to emphasize that if somebody's hurt and they have pain or they have a neurologic problem or a medical orthopedic problem or they don't need surgery, we will see them literally from day one of their work injury. We're happy to see any denied claims because those people need care as much as the next person. We're confident with our care, it's going to be reasonable. It's going to be necessary. And ultimately, we're getting paid. We don't even require a letter of protection per se. We, you know, in certain cases of motor vehicle, I'm not sure whether it even really pertains to workers' comp. But the fact is, anybody out there, if they need to see me, they're going to get great care and it'll be uncompromised.
So, Alexis, and you guys are located in Center City, right?
Yeah.
But you also have transportation, correct?
We do.
Talk about it.
Yeah, so our transportation is we have Uber Health. We also do, for those who prefer public transportation, we have SEPTA passes. And then for all appointments, and the thing with Uber as well is if they have any specialty appointments that are not in our office that we're being referred out, or if the lawyer has an appointment that they want to be seen by a specific doctor, like Dr. Gersinger, we do provide the transportation to those appointments as well.
That's very huge, by the way. Yes. Very few places have that.
Yeah, we've expanded.
And we have a lot
since
of people. Where you're located, you're almost like the center of the spokes of a wheel. I have so many people that just have transportational problems. And with therapy, they've got to do it consistently to get better and to show the world that they're hurt enough to do it. Mm-hmm. So I just made a note of that. That's wonderful. I'm sure the audience out there, there's a lot of people with transportational problems. There's people who are involved in workers' comp where their car gets totaled, and that happens all the time, and they can't get there.
And Alexis, does that extra transportation include transporting them to diagnostic studies? Tests?
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And also, too, a lot of lawyers are located in Center City, like yourself. Mm-hmm. So I always preface as well, if the client, because I know that you see a lot of your clients in person.
Right.
If they're at your office and you need to get them in right away, you can always, I always tell your staff and other lawyer staff as well, give me a call. We can
just
we
so
can
you know, there are no other lawyers.
I know, right? It's only Sunny. No,
all roads lead to Rome. You ever heard that? All roads lead. Everything gets funneled down.
We try and get them
you know
in.
What, you know what he's like? He's like the Maytag repairman. Yeah. He goes, "You can pay me now, or you can pay me later."
We only got a couple minutes left, but communication with attorney, with the attorney. I mean,
I'm the main contact of the firm of the practice. Since coming in there, I give my cell phone out to everybody. If you need anything, records, billing compromising, any questions about billing, I get it over as soon as possible.
And compliance is always important when you're dealing with, you know, keeping in touch with the attorneys under those situations.
And I know their office is good because I'll get emails saying the client's not being compliant with treatment.
Yes.
And people go through all kinds of stuff. Let's do this. We only have a couple minutes left. We ate it up with a lot of the sports. But by the way, this is like a family conversation. We all know each other fairly well. What do we got, a minute? Alexis, contact information for yourself and Weinerman Pain and Wellness?
Yeah, so our website's WeinermanPainAndWellness.com. My email is acrandall@WeinermanPainAndWellness. And my cell phone is 484-356-6666.
Dr.
Very
Grossinger.
Brave to give your cell phone out.
I always do.
I know. Okay. You're so nice.
Yeah. It's on my business card.
My name is Dr. Bruce Grossinger. I have 100 other brothers. We came together in a raft. Just kidding. I only have one who competes with me. But he's wonderful. We love him a long time.
Shout out to Steve.
And he was at the game. We were high-fiving yesterday. I love my brother. But I'm Bruce, actually. I'm the quiet one. My number is 610-521-6063.
Sonny Banks, Banks Law.
Banks Law, 215-561-1000. Our web address is www.bankslaw.com.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to, and it's not the inaugural Sonny Banks show, but we're back in the house.
Welcome back.
Fantastic. I want to thank Alexis Crandall from Weinerman Pain and Wellness and her sponsorship of Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Dr. Bruce Grossinger, for being, the doc that he is, the sports doc, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, Tyler in the booth. I want to thank everybody.
Thanks, Tyler.
For tuning in on behalf of everybody. I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.